Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Takahiro Sakito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Monday, June 1st, 2020. Welcome back, Sakito-san. As listeners may remember, you highlighted that a second fiscal stimulus package was increasingly likely a few short weeks ago. That raises several questions. What issues does this additional spending address, and how big is the budget? How much JGB issuance should we expect to see finance this spending, and in what part of the curve will it be concentrated?
Japan's Cabinet Office reached agreement on the second budget revision on the afternoon on May 27. The supplementary budget is expected to be passed by the end of the current dive session on June 17. The second budget revision includes 117 trillion yen in overall projects, 72 trillion yen in fiscal outlays, including lending by government-affiliated financial institutions, 31 trillion yen in total expenditure, 11 trillion yen in corporate cash flow support. By law, the second revision will be funded by construction bonds, Article 4 bonds, 9 trillion yen, special public bond, deficit bonds, 22 trillion yen, and private bond, 32 trillion yen. A total of 212.3 trillion yen in JGBs will be issued to the market, an increase from the 152.8 trillion yen after the first budget revision, 24 trillion yen more than initially planned. By tenor, 30 years, JGB issuances will be increased to 10.2 trillion yen, 20 years to 10.2 trillion yen, 10 years to 29.7 trillion yen, 5 years to 28.2 trillion yen, and 2 years to 33 trillion yen. Discounted short-term 1 years will be increased to 36.9 trillion yen and 6 months to 45.6 trillion yen extremely. The burden of increased issuances on the front and belly of the JGB yield curve is the same as with the first budget revision in tenor structure. There is no doubt that the short end of the JGB yield curve has come under extreme stress.
Thanks for clearing that up for me. So what are the implications of this second budget revision for financial markets?
Looking ahead, increased issuances of TGBs as well as the BOJ's JGB line will be litmus tests for the JPY yield curve. More TGBs will be issued for government cash flow, and short-term rates will rise temporarily as the first budget revision is implemented. From July onward, we expect issuances of long-term JGBs to become the main driver of government cash flow, while the BOJ's yield curve control operations will largely determine yield levels. So long-term rates are unlikely to decline. The second budget revision will likely support US dollar JPY and Japanese stocks, and also support widening and normalization of JPY rate swap spread. This will create yen cross-border trade opportunities for global investors. It will be important to keep watching the TDB asset swap relative values in 3 to 6 months there. The MOF will increase TDB issuances, and Japanese investors may widen US dollar JPY hold points near the end of the quarter.
Great, thanks. Moving on, what have you seen in recent cross-border flows, and how does that shape your bias for the yen, JPY rate, and USD JPY basis going forward?
Japanese investors net acquired 380 billion JPY of overseas securities, excluding the short-term notes, during the week of May 17 to 23rd. This included 13th straight week of net acquisition of stock and investment fund holdings by 813 billion yen against the second straight week of net selling of medium and long-term bonds by 432 billion yen. Japanese investors have not been rebuilding their portfolios of foreign bonds after redemption, while some investors have been shifting to U.S. and European credit products via investment funds. U.S. leveraged loan pricing has recovered recently, regardless of the sell-off by U.S. large investors. The recovery has been driven by Japanese investors, and this is because Japanese investors have been buying up credit investment that they intend to hold until maturity. They have been adjusting and shortening foreign bond duration after taking the gains on foreign bonds at the start of the fiscal year. The moves have been polarized. Managing the assets continues to be a challenge downward, and Japanese arbitrage trading flows have been picked up as soon as U.S. and European short-term rates recovered. Foreign investors net bought Japanese securities excluding short-term bonds for the first time in 6 weeks during the week of May 17th at 626.8 billion yen. This included net buying of stocks and investment funds for the first time in 7 weeks by a small 75.4 billion yen, as well as increased net buying of medium to long-term bonds by 551.4 billion yen. Foreign investors also net bought 137.9 billion yen of short-term bonds during this time. While foreign investors have finally stopped selling off Japanese stocks, the pattern appears to be mixed. On the other hand, foreign investors net bought not only the medium and long-term Japanese bonds, but also the short-dated bonds as well. We get the impression that bond investors around the world, including Japanese investors, are looking for the arbitrage trading opportunities, however limited. Unless opportunities for gains with straight European and US bonds can be expected, the yen bond yield curve offers relative appeal. Looking forward, an increase in JGB issuances necessitated by the second supplementary budget will be a risk factor for yen rates. However, the yen bond market stability conditions on the BOJ's yield curve control operation, and we expect overseas investors to immediately arbitrage any bearish steepening in JGB yield curve. Low yields have prevailed even more around the globe so far in 2020. Easy money conditions have boosted the JPY-denominated samurai bond financing at yen rate, but the JPY cannot necessarily be considered a low-yield funding currency. U.S. Fed board members have recently mentioned the possibility of yield curve control operations. This will likely activate the current low yield control conditions around the world. Moreover, we saw that the global market stress amid low interest rates around the world called for policy coordination. Low and negative interest rates stalled cross-border investing flows. Being mindful of the market stress impacts of unwinding, including Huawei assets and Ripple market trading, as well as of macro level fund and bond cash flow, is critical. We saw this based on the BOJ's early tests. cross-border investment flows that involve Japan's market have offered lessons from the financial crisis stresses of just a few months ago, and reflects the attributes of surplus funds seeking investing opportunity around the world. We assume that most of the major central bankers will likely adopt the yield curve control operations with US dollar cross-border fund supply operation, namely the global yield curve control YCC operation by G10 central bankers, as major markets are highly connected with each other under the present global low and negative yield. Recently, the oil prices are picking up, and this sentiment has improved. But the adjusted expectations for economic reopening around the world have been mostly the factor in. Near-term resurgences in both cases as the world emerges from lockdown conditions will be addressed. US dollar JPY is likely to have a neutral bias in 106 to 109, while the JPY rate swaps and the basis swaps will probably have that upward and widening bias, respectively.
Excellent analysis as always. Thanks for joining us, Sekito-san.
Thanks for having me, John.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.